You know, it's always a little awkward whenever we change the order of the service. It's just a little awkward for a little bit because it's just not what we normally do. But as I was praying this morning in my devotion time, as I was spending some time this morning in my devotion time, I had a thought that just kept rolling over in my spirit. And during Sunday school, it just kept getting stronger. And whenever I came in here this morning, the Lord laid this scripture on my heart. And it just feels right to me to start with me talking about this scripture. I was seeking the Lord, walking around here seeking the Lord, saying, well, Lord, do you want me to start with worship to kind of keep it normal, kind of keep it somewhat like it is? Because now the kids, they don't know if they should leave or stay. And it's just an awkward moment because all of our normal steps that we take are out of whack now. But as I kept praying about it, it just seemed like the Lord said, no, I want you to start here. So we'll start here. I'm not exactly sure where we're going to go next, but we'll start here. Because if no matter what I do in my life, no matter what I do with this church, no matter what happens, there's one thing that I want to be sure of, and I want to be sure I'm in God's will. I don't want to be in his permissive will because I've been in that and it's not fun. I want to be in his perfect will. And if this is what he wants to do, then I'll do it. If he wants me to stand on my head and cluck like a chicken, then I'll do that too, although I don't think that's scriptural. But anyway, I just want to let you know. So that's what we're doing this morning. We're going to start here. It's kind of like getting the dessert first, and then we're going to eat the meal. So if things seem a little bit out of a normal flow, they are. But I believe that with God, out of normal with me is perfectly normal with him. So this morning, if you would stand with me and open your Bibles to the 37th Psalm. Psalms 37. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Psalms 37, verse 18. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, the upright shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume, into smoke shall they consume away. The wicked borrows and pays not again, the righteous shows mercy and gives. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his ways. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loveth judgment, and forsakes not those his saints. For they are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord God, for your direction this morning. And God, I pray, Father God, this morning, right now, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit, Father, would lead us, that your Holy Spirit would guide us, that you would open our ears to hear, Lord God, what the Holy Spirit is saying today. And Lord God, I simply thank you, Lord God, for the faithfulness that you have shown to us, Lord. God, lead us and guide us and open our ears today that we might hear what you are speaking to this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated. This week and next week are two very, very, very busy weeks for me. Thursday morning we were going to get up and drive out to Cotulla, Texas. Never been to Cotulla. Found out that it's about an hour and a half south of San Antonio, so we went to Cotulla, Texas to watch my granddaughter play in the second round of the playoffs, softball playoffs. She is the pitcher, and we went to watch her play. So this week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we were in Cotulla. We got home last night about 8 o'clock. Got up this morning, coming to church, and in the morning, we're going back to San Antonio. We have district council next week, and so we're going to be at district council Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And so Busy, busy time for me. Busy time for me. Kathy came in the bedroom Thursday morning at about 6:30 in the morning and woke me up and said, there's a big puddle of water in the kitchen floor. I said, well, clean it up. What are you telling me for? She said, because it's dripping out of a light. I don't think lights are supposed to drip water. So I went in there, and she had a towel there, and there was a big puddle of water there, and there was it was dripping out of one of our recessed lights at the new kitchen. And so I reluctantly, and not in a very good mood, I will add, and not in a very good mood, got dressed enough to go up in the attic and look and see what was going on. And what I saw when I got into the attic is that my roof was leaking. It was in a valley. The water was running down a rafter. It stayed on the rafter till it got to the end of that rafter, and there was another joist there below it. It fell down on it, ran down the end of it, on top of a recessed light, ran down the light into the floor. Did not touch the sheetrock. Did not wet the insulation. You might say, oh, that's lucky. And I'll tell you what, I don't live on luck. And I don't have a God that gives luck. I have a God who's concerned about even if a sparrow falls out of his nest. I have a God that keeps the very hairs of my head numbered. I have a God that knows when I lay down, and I have a God that knows when I get up. I have a God that knows when I'm doing good, and I have a God that knows when I'm having a hard day. And I have a God that says, you know what? I'm just not going to allow him to have to worry about that for the next 5 days or 7 days, because I know he don't have time to fool with it. And so I'll just, that leak's going to happen, yes, but it's going to happen in such a way that it protects him. I went up in the attic. I put in a big bucket up there. While we were gone, I think it poured down rain, I think, because that bucket had quite a bit of water, and it got out when I got home last night, but all the water was in the bucket. I emptied the bucket, put it back. And at the end, when I get back at the end of next week, I'll fix it. But I just want to tell you this morning that God watches over his children. I want to tell you that there is an advantage to serving God. When you get to the book of Malachi, one of the complaints of the priest is there's no advantage to serving God. And I want to tell you that if you think this morning there's no advantage to serving God, then you're serving the wrong God. I don't know what God you're serving, but I have found throughout my life that there are phenomenal advantages to serving God. I have found that God turns things my direction when they've got no business to turn. I found that God favors me whenever somebody else probably should. I find sometimes that God even exalts me and promotes me when that shouldn't have happened. And what I have found with God is that if you're faithful to him, he's going to be faithful to you. And I'm going to tell you this as well. Some of you weren't raised in church, or some of you came to church when you were younger and you got out of church and you lived the way of the world before you came back. And all I want to tell you is you need to be thankful, because when you were out in the world doing whatever it was you were doing, you had divine protection laying over you when your friends may not have had that. Because God even then was watching over you, because he knew that your heart was right and he knew that you were going to come back to him, and he kept his hand upon you step by step by step until you came back to God. And now whenever you look back, you should say, well, I should have got shot out there on that sandbar. He had his gun pulled. He had it pointed at my head. I don't know why he didn't pull the trigger. I know why he didn't pull the trigger, because you got a God that's looking over you. You got a God that's watching out for you. I'm not wandering in this world like an orphan. I'm wandering in this world with divine protection. His royal blood's flowing through my vein. His crown sitting on my head. I'm a king of a king. Hallelujah. I'm a prince of a prince. I'm a priest of a priest. Praise God. I'm not dead, dry, and barely making it. Hallelujah. Let this world do what this world will do. I serve someone greater than this world. Hallelujah. He's concerned enough about me to make sure that my attic doesn't get wet. You may say, well, my attic did get wet. And I did have my ceiling fall in, and I had to fix it. Well, praise God, you had the ability or the funds to fix it. I don't think any of you here this morning walked. I don't think any of you right now are hungry and don't have anything to eat. God makes sure the sparrows are fed. If he's going to make sure the sparrows are fed and you're serving him, you're going to be, he said right here, I once was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. The next time you want to start complaining about what you don't have, maybe you should consider a God that's given you what you do have. Maybe the next time you want to give God a hand, hallelujah. He is faithful to do exceeding abundantly above what you can ask or think. And all he says in all that is according to the power that's in you. If you see God in everything, then you'll see God in a lot more stuff. If you're going to complain about your situation, then you're not going to see God in that, because there's no power working in a complaint. There's no power working in self-pity. There's no power working whenever you don't realize how good God's been to you. When you don't realize how God's brought you through, when you don't realize how God sustained you, when you don't realize how God helped you pay your electric bill, when you don't realize how all the good things that God has done for you, when you don't realize that you're in church this morning, and if you're blood bought and washed in the blood of the Lamb, then my Lord, you're ahead of 90% of the people, because most of them, even in churches, oh, they come expecting God to do something great for them, but they haven't never given their life to him. So they can enjoy the full privileges of sonship. There's a lot of difference in a king's house between being a favored servant and being a son. Now, when a son's small, he's about the same as that favored servant, the Bible says, because he's under tutors. So him and that favored servant, they're about the same. But there comes a day when the son becomes a man. And when the son becomes a man, then all of a sudden he's to inherit all the rights and privileges of the king. As you mature in Christ, you need to understand that as you mature in Christ, every day you should see him as a little more faithful than what he was before. You should begin to understand that there's not a thing that comes to you or comes to me that doesn't first pass through the hands of a loving heavenly Father who times it and tempers it, because his desire is not to destroy me. His desire is to grow me. His desire is to take some chip, some flaw that he sees on me that doesn't make me look like Christ. You know, when Michael, then this is an old story and you probably all heard it, but they asked Michelangelo, you know, he's the guy that chiseled out the sculptor David, the sculpture of David, you know. It's you know, a timeless piece. It's, you know, held everywhere. And you know, he started that with just a big block, right? Just a big block of marble. And somebody asked him, they said, how did you do such exquisite things with that block of marble? How did you do such phenomenal things? He said, I saw David. They said, what do you mean you saw David? He said, I saw David in the block of marble and I just chipped the things off that didn't belong there. He said, that's all I did. I just saw David in the block of marble and I just went in there and chipped off everything that didn't look like David. Well, let me tell you something. When God saw me as a block of marble, he saw Christ in that block of marble. And all he does with me is chip off the things that don't look like Jesus. Because when it's all said and done, isn't that what I'm supposed to be like? I should be like Christ. So the trials and the troubles that God allows to come my way, they're not sent there to destroy me. They're not sent there because he hates me. They're not sent there to kill me. They're not sent there to break me down. They're not sent there to teach me a lesson. They're there to knock off the things that don't look like Jesus. So when it's said and done, I can say, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. Why? Because I've learned something about God. I've learned he's trustworthy. I've learned he's for me and not against me. I've learned that my steps are ordered of the Lord. And if I fall down, he simply picks. When I fall down, he picks me back up. And in the book of Hebrews, it tells me sometimes he swats me with that pickup. Boy, I told you. Once in a while that happens. But most of the time he picks me up. He loves on me. When we were teaching my daughter how to ride a bike, we'd always take her out there. Our street's a circle. So I'd take her out there, and we'd put her on the bicycle, and I'd run along beside her, younger then, run along beside her. Then when she got to going, I'd hold on back to that bike, and we'd go a little ways around that circle. You know, then we'd walk back, or she'd fall or whatever, and we'd try again. We were always going this way, always going this way. So one day she decided, she said, "Daddy, I can ride this by myself." I said, "Okay, baby, well, get out there and take off." Well, she got out there, she got to the end of the driveway, and instead of turning right, this is like NASCAR, instead of turning right, she turned left. When she got to the end of the road, to where the circle turned back, she got confused, because which way is she always gone? This way, this way. Well, this time she started out this way. So when she got to where she had to turn to go in the circle, she got confused. And because she got confused, she froze. And when she froze, she hit the curb and ended up in the neighbor's yard with me running down the road screaming and hollering. And when I got over there, I didn't say, "You goofy thing, what's wrong with you?" I didn't say that. I didn't say, "You're going to tear up my bicycle. Why are you running into the curb? What's wrong with you?" I didn't say that. When I got over there, I didn't say, "You're never going to learn to ride a bike. You're just not smart enough to be able to do it." I didn't say that. You know what I said? "Baby, are you okay? Come here, baby. Let daddy hold you for a minute. Don't cry. It's going to be all right. You didn't hurt nothing. It's okay. It's okay. It's not a problem." So when I go wrong in the wrong way, and I get confused and can't figure out which way to turn, and I crash and burn, do you think God comes over there and pops me on the head and says, "You stupid idiot, what's wrong with you?" Do you think God comes over there and picks me up and says, "You're never going to learn to live from me. Why do I spend my time with you?" What do you think God does? He wraps his loving arms around me. He said, "Son, I knew that wasn't going to turn out well. I knew that was going to be bad. But listen, I still love you. I'm still with you. It's okay. You didn't break anything that can't be fixed. It's going to be all right. Now let's get on and try again." You see, God is faithful. God is faithful. He's a faithful God. He's a loving God. He's a kind God. He's a concerned God. As long as you're faithful to Him and upright in Him, you should learn that God is for you, not against you. That God's not there to try to make you fail. He's there to make you succeed. He puts you in situations and allows things to come into your life that may seem difficult at the time. But you know what? If you learn this, if you learn God is faithful enough to me that He sees my schedule and He knows I don't have time to fool with it, so He lets the water drip in a place where it can be contained and controlled until I can get enough wisdom to figure out how to catch it so I can get on about my way to do what I need to do, and then when I get back, I'll spend the time and effort and money to repair it. You'll find out that God is for you, not against you. He's concerned about everything that concerns you. He knows when you get up. He knows when you go to bed. He knows what your children are going through. He knows what you're going through. He's here to help. He's here to bring comfort in a time of trouble. He's here to bring blessings in a time of need. He's here to supply your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul said that some of the churches didn't sustain him, but God sustained him, and he always had enough, even whenever he was in prison. Why? Because God knew he was in prison. And God knows where you're at this morning. And God wants you to realize, He wants you to know something this morning. There is an advantage to serving God. There is an advantage to living a Christian life. There is an advantage to living and walking with Him. There's an advantage because He is merciful. If we depart from evil, He loves judgment. He forsakes not His saints. They're preserved forever. The seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forevermore. I want you to know this morning. I want you to understand that if God's given you a promise, He will bring it to pass. He may ask you to take some steps. He may ask you to do some things. He may ask you to do some things that's crazy. But if you'll obey and have confidence in Him, then He will bring the promise to pass. I mentioned this last Sunday night, but I just feel like I need to mention it again this morning. And that is, Michael and Karen's story to me is just such an amazing story, because God promised them a child years ago. God promised them a child. And I've already told you this story, and Michael's testified about it, but I want to tell you again, because I think it's an example of God's faithfulness that you need to hear. God promised them a child. They even put a nursery in their house. When they built their house over here, they put a nursery in it, got everything ready for the delivery of a child. But then some things happened, and Karen had to have some surgery that made having a child not possible. And they could have said, well, that's the end. I guess I didn't hear God. I guess why did we do this? We sure look foolish putting this nursery in here now. They could have stopped right there. They could have stopped right there. And they did stop for a little while. But then God began to say, I want you to prepare your house to take in a foster child. And they started doing that. They took in a couple of kids. And we thought one was going to stay, and he didn't. And then Ariana, if I get this wrong, shake your head at me. But then Ariana showed up. Adriana showed up. And she was there. And we all knew this was her. We all knew this was the one. We were rejoicing with them. We were all excited because we knew this was their child. But you know what happened? They came and got her. No. Huh? It was Daniel? I'll let you tell this. They came and got Daniel. There you go. Go ahead. Stand up and finish the story for me. 3 months into Daniel's 3 months into it, the system worked in.
So do you see God's hand in any of that? It's what I'm telling you this morning. If God gives you a promise, then he's going to bring it to pass. He may require you to do some things. You know, they could quit. They could have quit. But they just took the next step that God laid in their heart. And then God worked out all the details. And I remember the day that Mike came in my office and we were talking because they had taken Daniel back. And we were praying about it. And it was a sad meeting. It was a sad day. But as we finished, I said, Mike, we've just got to believe that God's going to do what he said he can do. And he said, as he was leaving my office, he said, you know, I always wanted a son and a daughter. And just in a short period of time, Adriana showed up, a son and a daughter. The very desires of their heart, the very thing that God had placed within them is the very thing that God brought to pass. And what I want you to hear today and what I'm saying is that God hears and he answers prayer. God is faithful. God is true. God doesn't let a sparrow fall to the ground. There's nothing that you desire, nothing that God's promised you that he won't bring to pass if you can have faith in him. If you can have a 12, if I'm wrong here, let me know, but it was 12 years from the day they felt like that God had laid that promise on their heart to the day that those children were adopted and in their family. 12 years. But in the Bible, 12 means the completion of a promise. Jacob had 12 sons, the completion of the family of Israel. 12, the completion. And I just want you to hear today that God is faithful to do what he said he would do. That God is actively working on your behalf. That God is watching everything that goes on around you. That he knows when you go to bed. He knows when you get up. He knows what he's promised you. He knows where you're at. He knows what you need. He's going to be there for you. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to forsake you. And this morning as I was praying and thinking about this, I thought about in the book of John, I think it is, where Jesus is talking to the people and he tells them, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. And the Bible says that many ceased to follow him in that day. So many ceased to follow him that he turned around to the 12 and he said, will you leave me also? And Peter said, we're not going to leave you because we know and are sure. That word are sure means that he knew that Jesus was the Messiah because he had seen him in action. That are sure was not just because of what you said, it's what I've seen. And he said, we're not going anywhere because we've seen you and we're sure that you are the Son of God. And I want to let you know today that God will do more than just speak into your life. He will work in your life. He will do more than just tell you a promise. He will complete that promise. Hallelujah. He will do more than just give you strength for the journey. He will help you to complete that journey with the strength that he gives you. He will lead you. He will guide you. He will prepare you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You will find God is always faithful. You will find he's always on time. You will find he always does above what he promised that he would do, because he said if somebody asks you to go a mile, you should go with him how far? 2 miles. So if God asks me to go a mile, I'm pretty sure he's going to help me go 2. Hallelujah. If God asks me to put me in a position to do something for him, I'm pretty sure he's going to sustain me. No, I'm better than pretty sure. I'm positive he's going to sustain me. I cannot believe. Every Monday morning I pinch myself. Is it pinch or pinch? Pinch. I pinch myself with my pinchers. And I say, I cannot believe that I get to go to the church this morning and I don't have to work another job. I can't believe that God sustains me in the ministry. I can't believe that he supplies all of my desires, all the things that I need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I drove to Cotulla. I drove back to Cotulla. I'm driving to San Antonio. I'll drive back from San Antonio, and I'm doing it in a car that he has supplied me with gas, that he has furnished me with clothes and a suitcase that he has provided for me. Hallelujah. I don't do it as a poor pauper. I do it as the son of a king, and he blesses me every day. Woo! My God, my God, my God. Why would you not want to serve God? Why would you want to struggle in this world and reach for things that turn out to be nothing but sand and garbage? Stuff that's nothing. This morning in Sunday school, we studied the word vanity. Vanity, vanity. Solomon said all is vanity. And if you look at the original meaning of that word, it means like air in your lungs. You take it in, you feel like you've got something, but when you breathe it out, there's nothing there. That's what all this stuff is that around us. We fight so hard sometimes to try to obtain that we might spend it upon our own lust or that we might do it into something that we want to do. We fight so hard to do it. And when we finally get there and get to enjoy it, we find that after 2 weeks, it's not any fun anymore. It just doesn't give me the pleasure. It's just not what I thought it would be. But I want to tell you, when God supplies it, it is. When God supplies it, it is. When we got married, we lived in a 14 by 52 mobile home. Some friends of ours let it park it on their land. As long as I put in the sewage system, I dug the hole for the septic tank, put the tank in the hole, and being young and dumb, I didn't realize that if you didn't fill it up with water, it'd float back up. Next day, I went out there to show Kathy what I'd done, and guess what? That tank was sitting on top of the ground. And you know what? It's a lot harder to dig out there a second time than it was the first time, because now it's wet and nasty. But I dug it out. I got that thing back in the ground. I filled it up with water. But I want to tell you something. Some of the funniest and best stories of my life came from that 14 by 52 mobile home. Because we were in the will of God. We were doing what God gave us to do. He opened up the door for us to be able to afford that. I was still in college. She was working for an attorney. And between the two of us, we were able to afford a mobile home. We were able to move it. We were able to put in a septic system. We were able to do whatever we wanted to do. We had vehicles. We were youth pastoring to the church. I'm telling you, God supplied. We paid for college tuitions. We took care of all that stuff, and we never missed a beat. 1 year, I even had to pay in Uncle Sam. I couldn't believe that, but I had to pay Uncle Sam $114, and that was like $1,000 as far as I was concerned, because we were living on rolled up pennies sometime. But I'm telling you what, we made it. I tell you what, we made it. We didn't miss any meals. We didn't miss any notes. We didn't miss anything. We made it. We didn't make it because we were great money managers. We did great make it because we were great at what we were doing. We didn't great make it because we knew everything there was to do. We didn't make it for that reason. We make it because my God supplies my needs according to his riches in glory. We made it because he gave us the strength and the ability to do what we did. We got out of college because he gave us the power to be able to study late at night and get up early in the morning and go work a job and go to school and take care of everything we had to take care of. God sustained us. When I look back on those days sometime, I think, how in the world did I do that? And I'll tell you how in the world I did that, because God gave us the strength to do it. He was faithful. He continues to be faithful. He'll be faithful in your situation, but you got to give God the chance to do it, and you got to understand that if he does something that you don't understand, you just say, well, God knows what he's doing. Praise team, why don't you come back this morning? He's been faithful. He's been faithful. If you fall, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. If you fall 6 times, he'll pick you up 7. I feel like I'm saying this morning because some of you may be going through some stuff that you feel like is difficult. Maybe something you didn't expect. Maybe something that you feel like you didn't deserve. And maybe you didn't.
But I want to let you know that God's hand's in this. And if you can learn to trust Him, if you can learn to trust Him, you'll find that you not only know God by the hearing of the ear, but you know Him by the seeing of the eye. Isn't that what Job said? Job went through all the stuff he went through, all the difficulties, all the trials, all the troubles, sitting in the ash heap, scraping his boils with a piece of pottery while three people told him he was a sinner. Then he gets a little smart aleck young guy over there that comes in there and tells him, if you knew God like I knew God, you wouldn't be going through this trial. But then God spent about three chapters telling him 84 different reasons that Job should know that he is God. And once Job realized, hey, wait a minute. He said, you know what, Lord? I once knew of you with the hearing of the ear. That's where maybe you are this morning. Maybe you've heard that God can do these things. Maybe you've heard that God could part the Red Sea. Maybe you've heard that God could roll back the Jordan River. Maybe you've heard that God can supply a children in a promise. Maybe you've heard things, but you're not sure that you believe things. Well, all I want to tell you is the same God that you hear about, if you'll just trust God, it'll be the same God you see. Same God you see. Stand with me this morning if you would. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I praise you this morning, God. God, I know you brought this congregation this morning, God, together, Father God, because you've got miracles working in the wings. Lord God, you didn't bring us here this morning, Lord God, so we could just talk about how high the water is. You didn't bring us here this morning, God, so we could just talk about how our life has been for the last week. You didn't bring us here this morning, Lord God, just so you could bless us and send us home. Lord God, you brought some people here this morning, God, because you're going to do a miracle in their lives today, God. You're going to change a can't into a can. You're going to change an impossible into a possibility. You're going to change a thought into an action. Hallelujah. You're going to change something that they've only heard about into something that they see. Because there's a lot of difference in being able to preach about how God does miracles and actually see how God does miracles. And this morning, Lord God, you're going to become real to some people, Father. Because you brought them here today, oh God, so that you could show your greatness. So you could show your power. So you could show your awesomeness. So you could show your glory. So you could reveal yourself, oh God, to them. Not just in who they've heard, but in who they can see today. And Lord God, as we go into a time of worship here, God, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would quicken their hearts and quicken their minds, God. That this morning we're not leaving out of here talking about how the service was. We're going to leave out of here talking about that we saw God. That we saw God. And I thank you for it this morning in Jesus' name. If you want to, if God's moving on your heart right now, we're not going to wait. If God's moving on your heart right now, just leave your seat and come down here and say, God, you said it. I believe it, and now I'm going to see it. And I'm telling you today, some of you are going to leave out of here today with a miracle. With a miracle. You're going to leave out of here with a miracle. You're going to leave out of here saying, my God, that was it. That was it. Because God's here today with miracle. With miracles. If you see somebody down here you'd like to pray with, then feel free to leave your seat. Just lay your hand on their shoulder, men with men, women with women, if you would. Pray with them this morning, because this is your day. This is your day to receive. Hallelujah.
You've been down long enough. No more walking in shame, because the way that He loves. Is it something you can change? You've been running in circles, but you can't hide from grace, 'cause the way that He loves you. Is it something you can change? Thank you. his shame, 'cause the way that he loves you, is it something? You've been running in circles, but you can't hide from grace, 'cause the way that he loves you, is it something you can't change? And just like Lazarus out of that grave, our God rewrites history. Jesus, you change everything when you pour your spirit out. Just like Silas singing with Paul, praise can break down prison walls. Jesus, you can have it all when you pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. You can rest in his presence. You can trust in his name, 'cause his burden is easy and he's perfect in his ways. You can run to the Father, there's no reason to wait, 'cause his arms have been opened, and that's something you can't change. And just like Lazarus out of that grave, our God rewrites history. Jesus, you change everything when you pour your spirit out. Just like Silas singing with Paul, praise can break down prison walls. Jesus, you can have it all when you pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. You can rest in his presence. You can trust in his name, 'cause his burden is easy and he's perfect in his ways. You can run to the Father, there's no reason to wait, 'cause his arms have been opened. That's a something you can't change. Just like Lazarus out of that grave, our God rewrites history. Jesus, you change everything when you pour your spirit out. Just like Silas singing with Paul, praise can break down prison walls. Jesus, you can have it all. Won't you pour your spirit out? Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Pour your spirit out. Just ask, seek, knock, watch the door swing wide open. Roll back that stone. Roll back that stone. 'Cause all we have to do is just ask, seek, knock, watch the door swing wide open. Roll back that stone. Roll back that stone. 'Cause all we have to do is just ask, seek, knock, watch the door swing wide open. Roll back that stone. Roll back that stone. Come on. 'Cause all we have to do is just ask, seek, knock, watch the door swing wide open. Roll back that stone. Roll back that stone. Roll back that stone. Pour your spirit out, pour. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine, as he's been the fourth man in the fire time after time, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. I trust in God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know that the next part of that song said, I trust the Lord and He
heard and He answered.
I want us to sing. We can sing the whole thing again, but I want us to focus on that for just a second. You know, one thing that the Lord has taught me over my years. I didn't always feel this way, but this is where I'm at now. If we would have woken up Thursday morning and the ceiling would have been laying on the floor, along with the insulation and everything else in the kitchen, if it would have been there, you know what God has taught me? It's just sheetrock. It's just sheetrock. And I know people that can do sheetrock. And if I have to, I can actually maybe do it. It won't look good, but I could do it. It's just sheetrock. It's just insulation. You know, and I'm not looking for my house to burn down, but if it did, like Blake one day come up here to church, and when he got up here, he found out his house was on fire. But you know what he's learned over the years? It's just a house. God supplied a house. God supplied land. God took care of every step of the way. Because when it's all said and done, it's just a house. It's just a car. Because God knows how to fix it. God knows how to make it right. So I'm telling you, let's sing this morning. And let's think about the God that we serve, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the God that can never fail. Let's think about him for just a moment this morning, and we'll change the order of this service. You know, I'm just sitting up here. I'm not sitting, obviously I'm not sitting. I'm standing up here. And I'm looking out across you and I'm thinking about all the things that I know God's done for you. Martha spent last Sunday night, was it last Sunday night? Last Sunday night, telling us about a miracle and a thing that God did for her. Rattling bones. Dry bones come to life, rattling bones. I know one time, and I don't know the whole story here, I just know the highlights of it, but I know one time Dustin and Sarah ended up needing a lot of money to pay a property tax, I think it was. And they're still living there, so I'm assuming God supplied that need somehow or another. As I look across this congregation, I know Stephen at one time back there, he was teetering on bankruptcy, weren't you? Isn't that right? Teetering on bankruptcy, almost fixing to lose his house. But you know what? Today that house is paid for. And you know what? He's not teetering on bankruptcy anymore. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I could get every one of you up here. Every one of you I'm looking at. Mike preached a couple of Wednesday nights ago, and he talked about that his house was flooded and sustained, I think he said, $200,000 worth of damage. Am I right? But guess what? They're living in a house today, in a house that God helped them rebuild. It's just a house. God helped him put it back together. They're living in it today. Every one of you have a story. If I gave time, every one of you could come up here and talked about how you were in a situation and it just looked bad and you didn't know how you were going to get out of it. It just seemed like it went on and it was never going to change. But guess what? I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. None of us thought Martin Roberts was going to die. We all thought he was going to be healed. I prayed for him 20 times, expecting to open my eyes, seeing him 100% well. But guess what? In God's sovereignty, he took him home. He allowed him to, go to heaven while we stayed here. As you can imagine, Brenda was tore up, depressed, on medication, trying to regain herself. But you know what? At Pack the House, she came down and I saw God. I saw God. That's all I'm going to say. As she prayed, I saw God. Woo! And guess what? She's here today. And as she was singing that just then, she caught my attention because she had a big smile on her face. Not on medication anymore. Off of it. No more depression pills. Why? Because she sought the Lord and he heard. And he answered, I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard. And he answered, that's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. Can you give the Lord a hand clap this morning? Amen. You may be seated this morning. We'll try to get this thing back on track. I tell you what, I'm glad I came to church. I'm glad I came to church. If I could get a couple of ushers to come this morning. We're going to receive an offering. Then after that, we're going to receive communion. This is the first Sunday of the month. Some of you ushers are communion ushers. You need to hurry and get back. No dilly-dallying around. And they're counting money. You know, if you want to hear some interesting stories about how God heard and answered prayer, then you need to talk to Floyd and Rosalie Murray about the things that God's done for them over their life. How he supplied materials for jobs whenever they had no money to supply. How he took care of them week after week, even when sometimes their situation was dark. how he came through for them time after time after time throughout their life. He was once young, now he's young at heart. But he's never been forsaken, and he's never been begging bread. Brother Floyd, would you stand and bless this offering, please, sir?
So hard to see it. It took me so long to believe it, that you choose someone like me to carry your victory. Perfection could never earn it. You give what we don't deserve it. To glory, you are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I am seated in the heavenly place, undefeated, with the one who has conquered it all. Now I can finally see it. You're teaching me how to receive it. So let all the striving cease. Oh, this is my victory. Champion, giants fall when you stand undefeated. Every battle you've won, I am who you say I am. You crown me with confidence. I see it in the heavenly place, undefeated. My voice and shout, every wall comes crashing down. I have the authority Jesus has given me. When I open up my mouth, miracles start breaking out. I have the authority Jesus has given me. You are my champion. Giants fall when you stand undefeated.
Kathy, if I could get you to come to the piano for just a moment. We're going to receive communion this morning. If you need to go, we're earlier than usual, so you shouldn't need to go, not even 12:30. So we're going to receive communion. The communion ushers would come at this time. Thank you so much for the liberty to just kind of follow this thing as we go. I know some places I wouldn't have that ability, but I have it with you, and I thank you so much for it. God bless you this morning. I just want to say something real quick, and I will be quick. This is not just a formality we do once a month. This is a celebration, and this is a remembrance. We're celebrating the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. That's what we're celebrating. But we're remembering a lot more than that. We're remembering that he's coming back again. We're remembering that he said, I'll not drink of this cup until I drink it anew with you in glory. We're remembering that we are conquerors and overcomers. Like Reed said this morning, we're remembering that we have the authority. Because that's what that shed blood and that broken body gave you. You have the authority over sicknesses and diseases. You're not at their whim. And we're celebrating this morning, but we're also remembering. So as you partake of the cup today, I want you to remember what Jesus did, but I want you to celebrate who you are in Christ. Amen.
It's good to serve Christ. Amen. I want all of you to smile. You know, while they're serving this, we use the moments to reflect on the things that's kind of separated us from being the man of God, the woman of God, decisions we've made. We use that as a time to reflect on how we've fallen short, but yet we're going to try harder. And I'm going to stand before you this morning to make a confession to y'all. Yesterday, I fell short from being the man of God that He called me to be. I got a full pedicure. When we went down there, that was not the goal. I usually was going to do my normal thing, sit in the massage chair and talk to my wife. But she convinced me. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be on a straight and narrow path from here on out, and that will never happen again. It's good to serve God. It's good to laugh. Amen. Luke 22:19 says this. It says, "And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. He gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" He was telling the disciples, "I'm going to be beaten, broken. You're not going to recognize me, and I'm doing it for you." And I want you to think about this. The disciples sitting there watching this be done to their Savior. Do you think that they thought, "This is not what I thought was going to happen. This is not what I had planned in my mind of what God had called for a conquering king, to see my Savior beaten and broken, unrecognizable, bleeding." But yet Christ knew He was in the perfect will. The disciples didn't know that this was the path in order to become an overcomer. Jesus' body being broken was our victory. Jesus knew this was the path, hard as it may seem, but it was necessary. Sometimes things in life don't happen the way we think they should go. Sometimes we don't see things the way God sees them. But you can overcome it. His broken body made you a conqueror. Doctors may give you a bad report. You can conquer that through Christ. You might have been sick for a long time, just can't get rid of whatever it is. You can overcome it. That body was broken for you. You are a conqueror. When the rain chances keep increasing, you can conquer that too. Like Scott said this morning, it's just a house. It's just a car. Our faith is what matters. So no matter what you're facing, Jesus' broken body made us conquerors. You may fall short some days. You may have to turn in your man card some days. But He makes us more than conquerors. Amen? So let us pray before we partake. Father God, we thank You and praise You right now, Father God, for the body that You sacrificed for us, Father God. The healing, Father God, that You give us, Father God. The overcomer, Father God, that You made us, Father God. You made us conquerors because of the sacrifice that You made. And Father, we thank You right now, Father God, as we partake of this bread and remember the broken body is because of You that we can continue on. Father, we love You, we praise You, and thank You. In Jesus' name, may we partake. Amen.
About the blood, I think about that my sins were all washed away when that blood was shed. And I think about, you know, we think it just takes one drop. There was a lot of blood shed that day. God directed me to a scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews 9:14 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the blood of, how much more through the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot in God, purged your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." You know, that's what Christ did for me. And I just began to reflect, you know, and I think about it, and I said, I've probably, it's like God told me we needed to be reminded of some things this morning. We need to be reminded that by his blood, Christ accomplished a lot of things. He forgave our sins when we repent and receive him. He ransoms all believers from the power of Satan and evil powers. He justifies all who believe in him, and he cleanses believers' conscience that they might serve God without guilt and full assurance of faith. When I begin to read some of these, I begin to think about, a lot of us begin to think about the things that we've done in the past. You know, when we come to Christ, doesn't he forget those things? Didn't that blood just wash it away? How many times do we come back up and we say, God, please forgive me because I didn't live for you in my younger years? Well, he's forgotten those things. But what are we doing? We're carrying that weight. We're carrying the things of our past that God's already forgotten. But what does it say here that he justifies all who believe in him? He cleanses believers' conscience that they might serve God without guilt. I mean, we carry that guilt. We carry it, but do we need to? God reminded me this morning as I began to sit and I began to pray and began to talk to him that the things, a lot of the things that I carry, that I ask him over and over to forgive, he's already forgiven me of it because I'm a follower of Christ. That's what that blood, that blood represents. I mean, it's juice, but that blood represents what Christ died for. He accomplished a lot of things. He sanctifies the people of God. He opens the way for believers to come directly for him. We don't have to go through anybody else. We don't have to call Brother Scott and say, look, Brother Scott, I did this last week. Pray for me. No. A lot of times they don't even know a lot of the things I face. We don't have to call them. We just have to talk to God ourselves and begin to say, God, I thank you. I thank you that you shed this blood for me. And I begin to reflect back on John 9:32, when it was finished. And that's the only words that popped out at me. It said, it's finished. We don't add anything to that, nothing take away. What does that mean? That means we walk in victory. I mean, it is finished. It's not over. He didn't say, you know, it's finished. I'm done. No. We walk in victory. We walk in victory. Those demons that begin to attack us, our families, we have authority to trample on them. We have authority to cast them out and put them down. We don't need to carry the weight that we carry. And that's what God began to show me in this. When I partake of his blood, is what this represents, is the blood that was shed on Calvary for me, is that I'm carrying a lot of things that I don't need to carry because it's already been done and it's finished. But Father God, I thank you, God. I thank you for the blood that was shed on that cross for me. Father, I take this personally, Lord God. I know, God, that I was on your mind when you were on that cross. I thank you, Jesus, that you shed that blood for me. Because there's a lot of things that I feel unworthy of, Father. But I know, God, that I'm worthy, Lord God, in your eyes to stand before here, Lord, and proclaim your word. And I thank you, Father. I give you praise this morning, Lord God. And as I partake of this juice, Lord God, of your blood that was shed for me, God, I just give you praise, God, and I thank you. Mighty name of Jesus, we pray.
So for 16 years now, I've ended communion by saying, and they sang a hymn. So this morning, we're going to sing a hymn. It's called Marching On, if it's in that thing. But if it's not, most of you have a blue book in front of you. It's on page 420. And we're going to sing Marching On as we're marching on tonight, this morning. By the way, if you didn't like this morning's service, come back tonight. We'll do something different. Here we go.
Marching on in the light of God. Marching on, I am marching on. Up the path that the Master trod. Marching, marching on. And it's a robe of white, a crown of gold, a harp, a home, a mansion's fair, a victor's palm, a joy untold, or mine when I get there. Marching on through the host of sin. Marching on, I am marching on. Victory's mine while I've Christ within. Marching, marching on. It's a robe of white, a crown of gold, a harp, a home, a mansion fair, a victor's palm, a joy untold. When I get there, and I'm marching on while the skeptics sneer. Marching on, I am marching on. Perfect love casteth out all fear. Marching, marching on. And it's a robe of white, a crown of gold, a harp, a home, a mansion fair, a victor's palm, a joy untold, or mine when I get there. Last verse. And marching on with the flag unfurled. Marching on, I am marching on. Preaching Christ to the dying world. Marching, marching on. 'Cause it's a robe of white, a crown of gold, a harp, a home, a mansion fair, a victor's palm, a joy untold, or mine when I get there. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this service today, God. Thank you for this congregation. Guard them, keep them, protect them, Lord God. Let your blessings rest upon them today, God. Rest our bodies this afternoon, Father, and bring us back to your house tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a good afternoon.